Something Big with Big Alaska guests, Big Alaska adventures, and no good lying through your tooth, tall Alaska tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com, the podcast streamed to BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. It's our Big Alaska Show book review with our guest author and creator of Alaska's world-renowned rustic saloon, Chilkoot Charlie's, Mike Gordon, is in the house. Also featuring Mike Gordon's latest book, Naked Alaskan, the rest of the story. Designed to raise your spirits and not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show. All right, if everything's working correctly, you can hear us, Uncle Steve.
I'm so tempted to pause.
But knowing what that would do to me.
I know. Hey, man, so we're using new technology here, folks. We're using StreamYard, which is sort of like Zoom, but it has some more broadcast kind of like features. And so I'm on the road, and in the studio is Mike Gordon, our guest, and Mike Ford, the co-host. I'm down at the very tip of Texas. We bought our RV a year ago in April, so we're having the warranty work done on it, Mike. I just got through doing an interview with a character named Liz Amazing. And if you just Google Liz Amazing.
And is she?
She is the Robin Hood for RV advocacy for the consumer. And she got into RVing back in the 80s and saw how terrible.
So does that mean she's taking like the nice couches out of the really fancy RVs and putting in ones for folks like you?
Well, yeah. What's happening in the RV industry is much like what's happened in the broadcast industry, where they're, you know, these companies that own the stations are trying to pay their shareholders more and more and chimping here and there. And in the RV industry, you know, instead of, you know, they're using staples instead of nails and rubber bands. And
hey, there's another $1 million idea, Uncle Steve. Big Alaska Show RVs.
By the way, in this interview, I am the poster child of what every bonehead rookie RV shopper goes through.
You wish you had talked to Liz Amazing first, didn't you?
Yeah, really. Right from the very beginning, when I first heard about her, we were driving to Alaska. We were in the Yukon Territory, and this guy mentioned, "Have you heard of her?" I said, "No." And so the very first video, she cranks these little short videos out, and her first video was entitled, "Are All Brand New RVs Junk?" And at that time, we bought the RV and went through a month of them trying to get everything together. And the title of my blog I'll be launching is called, "We Just Bought a Brand New RV and I'm Trying Not to Hate It." One of her axioms was at that time is, don't buy a brand new RV that's built in Indiana.
And of course,
ours was. And I had to go back and look and see if our brand name wasn't the Hoosier. But enough about Mike Gordon. We got a great show. We got Mike Gordon in the house.
He's a Renaissance man.
Oh, he's a remarkable Alaskan character. And he's written three awesome books. And you're going to find all three on our Big Alaska Show book review section. Just go to BigAlaskaShow.com. But in our studio, we've got a remarkable guy who's got a remarkable story. And as I mentioned to Mike Gordon, especially for us who grew up in Anchorage, in that time frame, it's going to really resonate with so many people. Although all these remarkable things that have happened to Mike Gordon, wouldn't you say, Mike Ford, that the pinnacle of his career is appearing on the Big Alaska Show live?
Hey, I might say that. I don't know that he might.
Thanks for everybody joining us in the Big Alaska Show. But of course, Mike, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way.
That's right. And we never let Harley near this coffee.
Beagle gas. Folks, the key to doing an early morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for Alaskan authors. Writing is no easy task. and waking up early to put words together that actually make sense sometimes requires a little motivational attitude adjustment. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed pile of dirt jumpstarts wordsmiths with an energetic boost to generate flowing phrases that may not make any more sense, but will certainly blister the ears of the censors. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup. It's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup. I can't get enough of that Big Alaska Show Blend.
And that's how we roll here at the Big Alaska Show. But stick around, we have more Big Alaska Show coming up. And you can hear our show streamed and get podcast at bigalaskashow.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford, along with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle, or you can visit them online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. Uncle Steve here, along with my good buddy and co-host, Mike Ford. Our guest is Mike Gordon. Mike is an author. There's too many descriptions of Mike, but today we're going to be talking about Mike Gordon's third book. It's called Naked Alaskan, The Rest of the Stories. And we have his other two books, Learning the Ropes and Dagnabbit, on our Big Alaska Show book review section. You can find that at bigalaskashow.com. Just go to bigalaskashow.com and type in Mike Gordon, and he'll take you to his books. Interesting podcast interviews with him on those, plus links. What we'd like to do is, from right off the start, this guy needs the fanfare that he probably doesn't get back in Homer. I don't think, Mike. So would you please give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Mike Gordon.
I threw in the beer horn.
No.
I know they don't have one of those in Homer.
Are you kidding? You'll probably, if you Google beer horn, you'll probably get Mike Gordon's face.
Is that him holding it? Okay.
Hey, Mike, thanks for getting up early and joining us for the Big Alaska Show. I've been really looking forward to talking to you about your book, because the last two, Mike Ford, he busted me. He knew I hadn't read them all the way through.
I'm going to run and grab him his coffee that I promised earlier. Guys chat.
This is perfect, Mike Gordon, because you said you had like a 2-month stint doing radio a number of years back. So how do you like being on the air?
I feel right at home.
Yes, you do. Let's start out, really get a sense of what this third book is about, Naked Alaskan, The Rest of the Stories. Incidentally, you're going to have book signings. Tell us when your next book signing is and where.
I've got three of them coming up next weekend. Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m. at the newly named Coots on Spinard Road, in the heart of Spinard. And then on Saturday and Sunday from noon to 3 p.m. at Tidal Wave Books. If we're lucky, if he's recuperated enough from his shoulder operation, we'll have Van Hale available to sign books also, since he is featured on the cover of the book, which features the title story involving Van.
I know Van very well. Had an excellent place called the Marx Brothers. It was a fine dining. In fact, I still have a gift certificate from about 6 years ago we haven't used, so I was going to go over there and see if I can use it now.
Good luck. Maybe they serve food at Van's dive bar.
Yeah, Van's got a dive bar now. I wonder if when you go in there, if he comes in and does his Caesar salad.
Wouldn't mean as much, you know.
Yeah.
You'd kind of expect it at Van's dive bar, but it wasn't expected at the Corsair in the 80s.
I have a picture of my brother, who was older at the time. He passed away a number of years ago, but he had a band that played. Then it was called King's X back then.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've got almost like a drawing that Reuben Gaines would do, but it's a little cartoon of his group. And it's that was at Van's Dive Bar. I came across that recently, and I thought, by golly, there's Van. And the front of the book cover that Mike Gordon's talk about, his book on Naked Alaskan, is, well, you'll have to see it because the story is in his chapters. And now that I've seen this picture, I didn't know the story at the time. Van was always sort of a reserve kind of guy when I was around him. And has Ford brought back your coffee yet?
Absolutely. How is it okay?
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of an homage to the coffee that they would give you at closing time back when things closed down at 5 a.m., right?
Those were the days.
For people to really get a sense, for me, I thought it was a good place to start, is Chilkoot Charlie's. That's what so many of us remember. Chilkoot Charlie's, incidentally, when people would come to Alaska and our visitors, there are two places we would tell people to go to and see if you can guess what the second one is. The first one was Chilkoot Charlie's. What was the second one, do you guys think it is?
Birdhouse.
Well, what do you think?
There was also the Bush Company.
The Bush Company.
Yeah. Okay. In those days, there were two. All right.
Mike Gordon, tell us, for those who don't know, and what was Chilkoot Charlie's?
Well, it was the offspring of the Birdhouse, actually.
And start with the Birdhouse and move us into Chilkoot's, because I know there was a transition there.
Well, the Birdhouse was my first business enterprise, and I was a one-third partner with Norm Rogberg and Johnny Tagstrom, two schoolmates of mine at Anchorage High School. And we owned the Birdhouse from December of 1967 to December of 1968. We bought it from the estranged wife of the original creator of the Birdhouse, Cliff Brandt. And we used to talk about, while we were running the Birdhouse, what it would be like to put it on a flatbed and take it into Anchorage where all the people were. And one of my partners, Johnny Tagstrom, got leukemia from having worked out at Amchitka on the nuclear facility out there. His dad got it too. They both died because of it. Anyway, he was sick with leukemia during the year that we had the Birdhouse. And after a year, partly because of that and partly because Norm wanted to go back to school, we sold it to Dick Dillack, and Dick ran it for many years until he got killed in a plane crash. And then his wife ran it for a number more years until it burned to the ground. But a year after we sold the Birdhouse, I opened up Chilkoot Charlie's in Spinard and kind of fulfilled that dream that we had of putting it on a flatbed and bringing it into the town.
How big was the original layout of Coots?
How big was it?
Yeah, how big was it?
It was 1,500 square feet. It was what in those days you described as a shotgun bar. It was just a long bar, which is still there. It's still the central bar of the place when you walk in the front door, although lately my ex-employees and others who were running the place and have been for the last 7 years when I sold it to them have been using the swing bar as the main bar.
Yeah. They, Mike Ford, a bunch of us would go in. This was like, what, about 1970-ish, Mike Gordon?
Well, I opened Chilkoot Charlie's on January 1st of 1970.
So, brand new decade, brand new bar.
We had a big party. The previous owner of the place, which was called the Alibi Club, Skip Fuller, threw a grand opening party for me. And as I recall, we made $479.50 that night. And he said, "You're not going to have another night like that for a long time. You better save your money." Well, I told him I was going to triple his business. And he said, "Well, you might double it, but you'll never triple it."
Huh.
How long did it take you to triple it?
Less than a year. But, you know, at our heights in the early 20s, we were doing $6.5 million a year.
And just so for people to understand, just real quickly, going back to the birdhouse was outside of Anchorage, about, I don't know, 15 miles or so on the way to Girdwood.
And about 45 miles.
Okay, then yeah.
The road was windier then.
Yeah. Okay. I was talking as the crow flies. But anyway, it was one of these bars that when you went into, you put an egg on it and it rolled up, or it rolled, you know, I mean, it was a slanted thing and it had panties already, you know, stapled to the.
How many business cards do you think were on the walls of that joint by the end of it?
I have no idea, but it's probably one of the reasons why it burned to the ground.
So Mike Gordon opens up Chilcoot Charlie's. Now the pipeline's coming in. He's making tons and tons of money. Anybody who came to Anchorage, we always took them to Chilcoot Charlie's. I want to get into this more into the Naked Alaskan book, but I wanted people to get a sense of the value that Chilcoot Charlie's brought, the foundation that really built for your business. And the other two books that we have at BigAlaskaShow.com, one is Learning the Ropes, and the other one is called Dag Nabbit. Give us a little bit overview now of what Learning the Ropes was about and Dag Nabbit, and then we'll get into Naked Alaskan.
Well, they're all memoirs, essentially. The first one, Learning the Ropes, and they're all from early in my life until current, but they're all from different perspectives and with a different focus. The first one, Learning the Ropes, the thread through it is my mountain climbing. I had a midlife crisis and decided to climb Denali. All my friends told me I was going to kill myself. And after climbing Flat Top the first time in the middle of the winter, I thought they might be right. Anyway, I get into mountain climbing, and for the next 5 years, that's all I did. I tried to climb the seven summits, the highest peak on each continent. I made six of the seven and made three attempts on Everest, getting to 27,500 feet on when I was 50. I wanted to go back again. I had an opportunity to go back with a couple of world-known climbers, and I felt like I could do it on the fourth attempt, but I'd already told my wife I wasn't going back twice.
The fact you're still with Shelley is writing miracle of this whole experience. From my perspective, this story is Mike was making so much money. He got himself into trouble a little bit. The partying side, he's told to straighten up or somebody's going to leave him. And so his form of recovery was climbing the seven tallest peaks in seven continents. What were you like, 44, 45, 46, something like that when you started this, Mike?
My first climb, Denali, was when I was 46. And my wife recognizes that that whole episode, that whole climbing experience saved our marriage. It was difficult for her. She used to refer to them as the stupid mountains.
Well,
you know, when you're doing Everest, you're gone for 3 months, and it's very expensive. It was particularly so for me because every time I climbed it, I had to buy her a new car, you know.
Did she name the car after each peak?
She might well have. I didn't actually have to buy her a new car, but I did something just as expensive, you know, like taking her and her friend with her to Nepal with me to go into base camp.
Nice.
Learning the Ropes is on our Big Alaska Show book review section at BigAlaskaShow.com. I really encourage you to go and listen to the interview podcast because he really goes into depth.
The rest of the story, what they're the thread, the climbing adventures, but interspersed is the memoir. And going on to the second book, it's the same sort of format where the focus is on Reuben Gaines and my relationship with him, and interspersed with works by Reuben and stories by me. And the third story is kind of a summation with more stories starting young and ending up today.
If you go to BigAlaskaShow.com, you'll see both of Mike's previous books, Learning the Ropes and Dag Nabbit, and they're terrifically entertaining. This latest book, Naked Alaskan, the rest of the stories.
I want to know how you came up with the cover for that one.
Let's hold the cover up to the microphone.
Yeah, hold that up to the microphone so people can see that.
It's called The Rest of the Stories. On your foreword, there's one little thing I wanted to read you guys because I think it It says, Naked Alaskan is the final installment of my memoir trilogy. I could write more. There are plenty more stories, and a few of my friends and readers have encouraged me to write them, but I'm done. And after reading Naked Alaskan, I was exhausted from all the trials and tribulations you had. When you're going around telling people what Naked Alaskan, the rest of the stories are, what do you tell them, Mike?
Well, it's a story in the book. It's the title story. It describes what happens late one night, early one morning at the Corsair restaurant, which was Alaska's premier restaurant in the 80s. It's a story that could only have happened in 1980s Anchorage.
It was a lot of fun downtown in those days.
Oh, it was. It was, yeah.
The money's flowing from pipeline revenues and, you know, grand time had by all. It is a series of stories. When I was trying to prepare, just to be prepared for talking to you about this, Mike, was so I started breaking them down into different categories. If you go back to your starting out when you were at Birdhouse and then Chilkoot's, I want to call it the food and beverage guy, but you have high-end tastes. You are very involved in the restaurant business in Anchorage. Knew a lot of people, and you were on the board of the alcohol and...
Alcoholic Beverage Control Board.
Yeah.
I was appointed by Governor Cooper and also by Governor Murkowski. I was on the board for 5+ years, and most of that time I was the chairman.
So that was for the whole state?
Yes.
Wow.
Ford, he talks about the different kinds of wines and all this. I mean, it's like a
sommelier, yeah.
Tell him the story of Red Bull, how it came to Alaska, Mike.
Well, I used to take my management team down to Las Vegas every year to the bar and nightclub convention.
There's a bar and nightclub convention?
Absolutely.
And does anybody remember coming home?
Well, you know, we went to the convention during the day and partied at night. I suppose the most important thing that derived from each of those, from all of those trips down there like that, was Red Bull. We were down there at the convention, and one day I noticed this booth, this big, expensive booth with a product called Red Bull. It was brand new in America at the time, and I went over and visited it, and was kind of taken in by the product. It was from Austria. It was an energy drink, and it was being served with alcohol. And I said, wow, this is like quite a combination.
Like a speedball.
you want to be an all-night partier. This is the answer to your dreams. So I tried to get them to bring Red Bull to Alaska, but at the time, they were only selling in a few Western states, and they didn't have enough product to get it to Alaska. Well, I bugged them for the next year, and then I went down there again, and I bugged them some more, and I kept in touch with them between years, and I think it was like somewhere into the third year, I finally got them to bring it to Alaska. And I had talked to K&L Distributors, the Budweiser people in Anchorage and in Seattle about taking the product, and they weren't interested. Finally put together a deal with a wholesaler in Anchorage, and the product came up. And I had convinced these guys at that point that I could sell a whole lot of that product. And as it turned out, I ended up being at Choku Charlie's the number one purveyor of Red Bull in the whole country.
Wow.
With the exception of the huge bars inside the casinos in Las Vegas. And other than that, I was the biggest seller of Red Bull in the country.
That's amazing.
We're accused of selling bull too, but it's a different kind.
Yeah, that's different kind of stuff here.
Well, it
doesn't stink. Well, yeah. Anyway, you know, the mistake that I made is that I should have become the wholesaler for myself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a federal law that prohibits being in the retail and the wholesale business in liquor, but Red Bull is a non-liquor product. Mm-hmm. I could have taken it. I should have. Well, the only excuse I have for not doing it was that I had my hands full running Choku Charlie's at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
also how I got reacquainted with my college buddy, Michael Gaughan, who's a prominent casino owner in Las Vegas. He would, I'd call him up once in a while and tell him I was in town. And he'd say, where are you staying? And I'd tell him, he'd say, what are you doing staying there? You'd stay with me for nothing. So after a few years of that, I said, what the hell? And I did. And he would take my crew in and put me in one of those fancy suites where you had to have a key to the special elevator. And we'd be there for 4 or 5 days doing our thing. And when I left, I'd get a bill for spa services or specialized kind of things. But the rooms were free. Even the drinks were free.
Oh, my God.
Hell of a deal.
One of the events that you went to, how do you pronounce it? Is it Flugtag? How do you pronounce that? What's that?
Flugtag.
Okay.
It means flight day.
Is it German?
Yes.
And it's an event that happens in San Francisco.
They've had them all over the world. It just happened to be San Francisco when we went 1 year.
It turned out that Amy and I were there on that day watching it as well. And I came across, I found some of the pictures. I'll send a couple to you. It's done by Red Bull. You know, people put together every kind of flying contraption, catapulting off the dock into the bay.
Oh, my gosh.
They fly about no feet at all and go right well, up.
And now Red Bull's famous for having those guys go up almost into space, right? Like stratospheric jumps.
And yes.
That's a Red Bull deal.
But that was in October of that 1 year. And I keep telling Mike Gordon that some of the things he's talking about, some of the people he mentions, I felt like the younger brother was too young to tag along, but wish they could.
Wait in the car, Steve.
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that's in this book. Something that'd be of interest to Mike Ford is your real estate dealings. God, what a miserable experience that must have been. Everything from South Pacific stuff to the stuff you dealt with in Homer or Halibut Cove. I mean, describe a couple of miserable experiences you had with real estate.
Well, they weren't really all miserable, but if one was miserable, it was the driveway in Homer. Nothing that happens in Homer ever makes it into the Anchorage newspapers, with the exception of my driveway on the hillside in Homer, right there in the middle of town above the hospital. Where do I start? I bought tons of property everywhere. I owned a big chunk of Spinard at one point. Never had any real problems with any of that. It was only when I was trying to retire and find a place, you know, build a place for myself to retire in, or to have a getaway in Fiji, where I ran into trouble, big trouble. I thought that I was in more trouble than I'd ever been in my life when I was building the driveway in Homer. I was in the crosshairs of Cook Inlet Keeper. They've been known to bring big oil companies to their knees. They were focused just on me.
Excuse me for jumping in on this. So Mike Ford, so Mike Gordon has this property. So he's got this driveway and he meets this guy who's got a grader basically, and he asks him to help him kind of do some work on the driveway. So it should be so simple to do something new.
You would think.
you would think. Actually, the guy in question was the husband of the woman who owned the property. Mm-hmm. The property was in her name, but he was a dirt contractor and he was working on the slope. I landed in a helicopter on the property up above the hospital there that bordered the gorge and had a beautiful building spot right on the gorge and a view of the bay. It was absolutely perfect, but there was no road to it. So I said, well, how am I going to get to it? And he said, I'm a dirt guy. You know, I can do it. I've always wanted to build a road to it. I said, I looked at my real estate agent and I said, well, put it in the contract. So he did. So the guy was supposed to build a road in it and we had the value attached to it. And he was supposed to get so much in payment out of me in escrow when he got to a certain point, et cetera. Well, my wife and I had visualized this little road going through the woods up to our building spot. The first time we got down to Homer and saw it from the bypass road, it looked like he was tearing up the whole mountainside.
Oh my gosh.
And
freeway.
There was a permit issued for it, and there were guidelines that needed to be followed that were stipulated by the city of Homer. And he didn't bother to go and renew the permit, and he didn't bother to talk to anybody. He just started plowing. He did a real slipshod job on it. You know, there wasn't proper drainage, there wasn't proper material used, and no matter how much I complained about things, it didn't do any good. And then the first winter after it was completed had one of those seasons in Homer where it wasn't really winter. It just rained all winter.
Oh, man.
And the whole thing just came flooding down. It was flooding a creek, and there were meetings on a regular basis of Woodard Canyon, you know, save Woodard Canyon, that kind of stuff. And I was in the papers all the time.
He was the interloper that comes into our...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just exactly the way I wanted to enter a new community where I was retiring. And so I was down there all the time, staying at the Bedarka Inn and working my tail off, trying to save that driveway, what was left of it, and the hillside, and keep it from eroding into the creek, planting alders. And you got to read the story to really get the full impact.
Yeah.
But there was a guy there who the previous owner got to work with him, who was a genius. He was a real dirt genius.
He saved the day.
He saved the day. Yeah, he really did. And it cost me another $150,000 for the work that he did, but at least he saved the day and saved my face. And after it was all said and done and I got it fixed, I went to the Homer News and said, you know, you guys are pretty good at using ink when things are going bad. How about coming over and taking a look at the final product? Because I kept saying I was going to fix it, and I did. Mm-hmm. So they came over and wrote a very nice article with a picture of the driveway on the front of the paper, and real pleased about that.
Did you ever live there?
No, I didn't. I never built it. A friend of mine in Anchorage fell in love with the property, and he ended up buying all of it except the building site, and then eventually bought the building site too. And I walked away from it making a pretty good sized profit, actually.
Things are a little quieter in Halibut Cove.
Yeah, I was able to take some of that money and invest it in the cove, and I expanded my dock and put in a tram and so on, and a boom.
One thing I want to interject on this, there's an integrity, I have to say. There's about Mike Gordon, I don't want to make him blush, but there's an integrity. I mean, this is a mess this guy created. Mike busted his chops to put netting and, you know, to keep it from eroding and planting stuff and doing all these things. And like I said, he ended up paying $150,000 for finally a good piece of PR that came his way. I think that's something that is throughout your life and the reading on this stuff, is there was an integrity.
Well, thank you. I kept telling them at Homer that I was going to fix it, but they didn't know me that well. And I can certainly understand why they were concerned about things. In the end, Paul Davis and I sued the previous owner. And it's true that you can't get blood out of a turnip, but we forced his wife to go bankrupt. And after the hearing, final hearing on the case, Paul Davis, my lawyer, took me aside and whispered in my ear, he says, "You won't be getting any for a while."
You get to keep the bulldozer?
It was all in his wife's name.
We're talking with Mike Gordon. He's an author. The book we're talking about is Naked Alaskan, The Rest of the Stories. We're going to be posting on our podcast, bigalaska.com. There's so much about both these books we've got, previous ones, are really interesting stories. This one is interesting from my personal part, especially guys I grew up with who would know all these different names of Jens and Van and Corsair and Chilkoots and Mike Gordon's dad, Whitey. He was my ninth grade coach at Central Junior High. There was all these connections, and we spent so much time around Chilkoot. I'm surprised you don't have a picture of us at, you know, Chilkoot Charlie's. I played on Chilkoot Charlie's basketball team years ago.
I thought they did have your picture up as the 86 line, wasn't it?
I was one of the guys they wouldn't let in, I think. there's so much in this. Mike Gordon's this Rotarian guy. He was involved in the assembly. He's an appreciator of art, a world traveler. The one thing that also is all throughout his writings is his wife, Shelley. And to me, if I were going to have Mike Gordon write another book, it'd be called Shelley. And what a remarkable woman she must be. The other thing that impressed me about this book, Mike, is how detailed it is on all this kind of stuff. Man, you got a heck of a memory for owning Chilkoot Charlie's.
That's funny. How about an audiobook? You thought about doing these as audiobooks? I bet people would enjoy just sitting back and listening to you tell the stories too.
Well, I have. If anybody's interested in helping me out with that, give me a call.
Yeah, Ford and I'll do it. All we do is charge you for the accurate words that we we've got book signings next week, first week in April. And we'll be posting these and following you on Facebook and posting that kind of stuff. There's so much to cover on this. And also, it's personal for me. I'm so glad you wrote these because it captures a history of a time of Alaska that won't come. I mean, it's like what the gold rush was in Nome. And in fact, real quickly, Nome, because I know we have probably 1 minute left here, Mike Ford.
Just about 45 seconds before I start the music.
When were you in Nome? When were you in Nome, Mike Ford?
79-80.
Mike Gordon, name any of the owners of that you would know that owned. I mean, there was the Board of Trade or whatever.
Well, probably Jim West, right?
Jim West, who had the Board of Trade. Mm-hmm. Stan Sabasinski.
Is that the Bering Sea?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tom Reardon.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he had the Bering Sea.
I think he had the Bering Sea.
Mike Gordon, it's called Naked Alaskan, the rest of the stories. You can find it at BigAlaskaShow.com, book review section. We'll post everything. Mike Gordon, thank you for being and joining us on the Big Alaska Show. And just really a pleasure for us. To my baby girl, love you. Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank Mike for joining us. We want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee to cut through the early morning fog. Visit BigAlaskaShowBlend.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good line through your two tall Alaska tales, it's got to be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.